Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. And today on this October the 8th, Wednesday, 2025, my friends, we've got a good, a real good friend of mine who is running for Congressional District, U.S. Congressional District 21. That happens to be the district where Chip Roy is retiring, which is of great interest to me, folks, because I happen to live in that district. So I want to introduce to you, my friends, Mr. Trey Traynor. And Trey, I've known him for a while, my friends, since back in the Tea Party days. Good gentleman, very, very good friend. And he happens to be running. He is a candidate for District 21. He is also a Trump appointee twice, my friends, in the previous Trump administration and now in this past one. And now that he's running for office, he's left that position. But I wanted to get him on to chat with him about his campaign and why he's running. Trey, thank you very much for taking time to be with us. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you, George. It's really great to be with you and great to be running and great to be back in Texas.
All right, let's start with this, Trey. Tell us first of all, a little bit about your background and what makes you qualified to run.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I've been involved in Texas politics really probably since 1993, working at Texas A&M, where I went to school for undergraduate. I started working there and worked with college Republicans and hosting Dan Quayle when he was vice president, coming to campus and working on various races and things like that. But my active involvement working in politics really started in 1998 when I went to work for Phil King, who then was running for state representative. He's now a state senator, but started working on his race, went to work in Austin, worked in the Texas legislature for about 10 years in various roles on staff there. And somewhere in between there, went to law school in Fort Worth, and then went and did a year-long stint at the Secretary of State's office as the general counsel for the Secretary of State. And then moved out and had my own private practice and have been at two major national law firms doing campaign finance and election law for over 20 years and have done all sorts of things in the political realm in Texas, from serving as general counsel to the Republican Party of Texas to, represented Rick Perry's campaign in 2012 when he was running for president and didn't make the ballot in Virginia. I had to file a lawsuit there to help to get him on the ballot, and then got selected in 2016 by Donald Trump to work on his campaign. I served as counsel to the platform committee at the RNC National Convention in Cleveland, and then went on from there to serve in the first administration. I was sworn in during the first couple of days of the administration in 2017 and was a special assistant to the Secretary of Defense. I went over there to help vet individuals to work in the Department of Defense and kind of keep an eye on things as part of the landing teams over there. And then later that year in 2017, the president selected me and nominated me to the Federal Election Commission. And Senator Schumer blocked my nomination for about 3 years, so I didn't actually get confirmed until 2020. I had an extremely partisan and very close vote to get confirmed there because the left was in an uproar about me going on to the Federal Election Commission, knowing my bent towards First Amendment and liberty issues. And so they tried to block it as long as they could. But the president, as he's wont to do, was very persistent in putting me forward. And I've spent the last 5.5 years working in Washington, D.C. I never moved there. My wife and I have lived here in Dripping Springs for that whole time. We actually been here for in Dripping Springs for about 15 years, but never moved up there. And so would commute back and forth and have spent a bunch of time basically calling out the Biden administration because I got appointed in 2020 and you know, towards the end of that, we had the flawed 2020 election, and I called out all of the fraud that I saw in the 2020 election, and then spent the rest of that time between administrations calling out the Biden administration for trying to weaponize all of the campaign finance laws against individual citizens. And I've testified several times in front of Congress about that particular issue with individuals that were being targeted because of their support for conservative issues, but also spending my time defending President Trump against people like Alvin Bragg and those who tried to use our campaign finance laws to prosecute him, and testified before the House Judiciary Committee telling them that, you know, there really was no campaign finance violation for Alvin Bragg to go after. And that's what that was the key linchpin of his targeting of Donald Trump when he went after him. So been involved in conservative politics for a long time. I've represented several organizations in and around the state, everybody from Empowered Texans, Texas Right to Life, Texas Homeschool Coalition. I've done, you know, done work, legal work for all of those organizations and fought for them. I've represented individuals on behalf of Texas Right to Life who are trying to, you know, save their loved ones from having the plug pulled on them in hospitals, whether they be children or adults. And so, you know, just been around a long time, and I've taken that oath to preserve and protect the Constitution of the United States three times in my life. Once is a member of the United States Army Reserves, and then when I went to the Department of Defense, and then when I took my oath to serve on the Federal Election Commission. And I'm hoping that the voters of District 21 will let me take that oath one more time and go to work for them in Washington, D.C.
You know, from my count, that's about 25 years of experience that you've got. That's pretty good.
Yes. Yes.
What is it in today's world that you in today's political world, particularly in my district, particularly in Texas and in Congress, that you want to accomplish? What is it that you want to focus on?
Well, you know, I think the key things are Chip Roy has done a really good job of focusing in on all of the fiscal issues that are involved in Washington, D.C. But obviously, first and foremost, is making sure that we keep our southern border secure, making sure that we codify the things that the president has done through executive order so that a new president can't come in and undo those and just throw the border back open again. So that's first and foremost, is making sure that we solidify the gains that we've had under President Trump to close the southern border. Secondarily to that, but tied in with that, is, you know, the Big Beautiful Bill included large sums of money for Texas to be reimbursed for the expenses that we had under the Biden administration. And I want to make sure that all of those payments get made, because those are being made over time. It's not one lump sum that's coming. So we need to make sure that those payments continue to be made, because it's not the taxpayers of Texas' responsibility to fully fund the southern border. That's a federal responsibility, and it needs to be borne by the entire nation, because the entire nation benefits from having that southern border closed. And Texas, you know, put the entire bill under the Biden administration. So those are really two big national issues that we need to focus on. You know, in a more local sense, there are things like, you know, we still have recovery operations going on in Kerr County, and those are going to continue for a long time. And it takes a lot of coordination between the federal and state agencies. And I want to be a resource to those individuals and make sure that we continue to focus on those. And then, you know, you look out at bigger issues like that. I mean, we still have energy generation issues in the state of Texas that need to be addressed. And there's federal regulations that come into play that need to go away to allow Texas to continue to be free and open for business. And we've got to reduce those. And then probably most importantly is those things that are in the Big Beautiful Bill as far as tax cuts and those type of items. You know, really need to have long-term extensions associated with them, so we don't go through what we're going through right now, which is everything becomes a tool of a government shutdown and becomes a negotiating ploy. We need to really just solidify those things.
Now, we've been hearing the past few days the big debate about the shutting down of the government, the Democrats blaming Republicans, Republicans blaming Democrats. And one of the things that has surfaced, at least yesterday on Tuesday, the 7th, was how the Justice Department has targeted or did target Republicans, including Republican senators. I personally, when I was the Tea Party president, was targeted by the Obama IRS. If you are a congressman, how are you going to protect your constituents?
Well, first and foremost, this is exactly the type of thing that infuriates me so much with what went on under the Biden administration. And you're right, it did start under the Obama administration. You know, and frankly, nowadays, that looks like child's play compared to what went on under the Biden administration with this type of observation. But, you know, when I testified in front of the House Administration Committee, I talked about a gentleman, Mr. Utley, who created a Facebook page called Trump 2020. He spent about $400 of his own money to put that Facebook page up and to advertise it. A local newspaper got upset about how effective it was becoming, wrote a story about it, and then a complaint got filed with him at the Federal Election Commission. And then the Department of Justice stepped in and wanted to criminally prosecute this man for having put up a Facebook page, clearly a First Amendment activity that he could engage in. And they took about 5 years to get around to saying, oh, well, there's nothing there. But in the meantime, Mr. Utley spends all of this time and effort, has to hire a lawyer, all of these type of things. And we cannot continue to see the apparatuses of government weaponized against individual citizens, whether it be a senator or, you know, a regular citizen just wanting to post something on Facebook or X. Those type of things have got to stop. And there have got to be eliminations of the immunity clauses against these federal law enforcement agents that engage in these type of activities so that they can be prosecuted. You know, I think it's fantastic that James Comey is being prosecuted for the incidents of lying in front of Congress and those type of things. But we really need sharper tools that encourage government officials to do their jobs and know that they actually have some repercussions for violating the law. And those are type of things that we absolutely need to look at, is eliminating some of those grants of immunity that these law enforcement agents have when it comes to directly violating the rights of citizens. You know, it's interesting to me, and I, as a lawyer, I deal with this all the time because it's the kind of law I practiced in the civil rights area. But you know, there's a statute that says, you know, if you're a state law enforcement actor and you violate somebody's civil rights, you can actually be held personally liable for that, and people can get money for that. But there's not that same type of activity at the federal level where, you know, if the FBI is spying on Senator Lindsey Graham, there's no liability associated with that, and Lindsey Graham really doesn't have a cause of action associated with it. So what we need is changes in federal statutes that says that these federal law enforcement agents that violate civil rights can actually be held personally liable and create a private right of action for individuals there.
Oh, that would be fantastic. But yes, we need to conclude here, but tell us, in conclusion, tell us why you're running and what it is that you plan to accomplish.
Well, I'm absolutely running because I believe strongly in the America First agenda. I want to support Donald Trump's agenda. I've worked on it since 2016, and I want to continue to see it be bolstered. We have to continue to keep control of the House of Representatives, and we got to take back control of the Senate so that we can push through and really codify all of the changes that he's made by executive order. So that's really my top priority. You know, and frankly, I love Texas. I want Texas to continue to prosper. I love the Hill Country. It's where I'm raising my family. You know, I love the people of San Antonio and New Braunfels and Fredericksburg and Kerrville and all of those places. You know, they're particularly special to me, having grown up here. I was born in Odessa, grew up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and have lived here in the Hill Country now for over 20 years. So, you know, it's just important to me to make sure that we continue to have conservative representation in Washington, D.C.
You got it, buddy. Thank you very, very much, folks. We've been chatting with our good friend, Mr. Trey Traynor, who is a candidate for Congressional District, U.S. Congressional District 21, to take the seat that Chip Roy, Congressman Chip Roy, is vacating. Let's continue chatting as the campaign goes along, Trey.
Great, thank you.
Once again, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio, folks.